From London, the National Broadcasting Company presents War Telescope, a review of the war week and a forecast of possible developments to come. War Telescope features Elmer Peterson of NBC's London staff, a veteran reporter of the European scene. For his regular Saturday report, we take you now to London.
This is Elmer Peterson in London. Today, with only a week remaining before Christmas, Berlin is again marred by smoking ruins, additionally marred. But 3 years ago today, this city of London faced the Christmas season under the same circumstances, as did many another British city and community. The Blitz was well underway. What the Luftwaffe began, the RAF and American air forces here in Britain are finishing. Berlin, it's obvious, is going to be destroyed, as the Luftwaffe would have wanted to destroy London. This contrast between 3 years ago and now is something which comes home to people here very sharply when they think of that contrast. For the British people reflect only occasionally now on that Christmas of 1940. They haven't forgotten it, but the conditions of wartime living are too demanding. You have enough to do here in Britain with the present and the future. The memory of 3 years ago is there, a memory of smoke and fire and exploding bombs, but it's held back a great deal. Especially now, with another Christmas only a week away. It's going to be a happier Christmas this time for the British. Also a very determined and very expensive Christmas. Also a Christmas which will be shared in by a very considerable number of Americans in uniform. So you may be interested in some impressions of this 1943 Christmas here in Britain, in contrast to the holiday feeling of those December days 3 years ago. What you notice most here now is how determined the British are to make this a good Christmas. That's partly due to their own confidence for the future, their conviction that this will be the last time that a Christmas tree will have to be decorated with nothing but strips of paper, with the blackout curtains drawn tight, with all the light and warmth of Christmas locked inside of homes and buildings. But there's more to it than that. Christmas this year does provide some antidote, at least, for the weariness that people have from the war. It's a spot of color, at least. Also, it provides welcome compensation for the general feeling here of not knowing exactly what's coming next, although they're sure, everyone here, that something is going to happen soon. The excitement over the Tehran and Cairo conferences has died down. The echo of all those encouraging words has died away, but there remains a rather grim reality of waiting to see, knowing that something is being planned and feeling that a heavy price may yet have to be paid for the execution of those plans. Whatever does happen from now on, and the people here know they may yet have to endure a lot of punishment, this Christmas does have a great sense of relief about it for the British. The war hasn't been won yet, they know, but there has been good assurance that it will be won. Many of the old doubts and uncertainties in British minds have been cleared away. In many instances, new doubts and uncertainties have only appeared, but the main barricades on the path to victory have been moved aside. So the British are struggling, and literally struggling, to do as well as they can with Christmas this year. There are problems and difficulties. Getting a Christmas turkey is a terrific achievement over here. Toys are being sold at amazingly high prices, even used toys, although some restrictions have been imposed by the Board of Trade. All manner of luxury articles are being purchased, for the simple reason that they are unrationed. It's all going to lead up to quiet home scenes in the main, although the buying that's going on now has none of the excitement and enthusiasm ordinarily associated with Christmas buying. In every store I've been in, I've been aware of the something somehow wearily methodical about the shopping. It isn't a gay laughing affair. It's something you go about in earnest, struggling with your personal problems of coupons and selection. A disturbing note in the preparations here for Christmas has been, of course, the illness of Prime Minister Churchill. The latest bulletin has just been given out to an anxious radio audience, stating that there has been some irregularity of pulse, but that Churchill's temperature is subsiding and the pneumonia resolving. On the whole, this is regarded here as encouraging news. Medical correspondents here state that the crisis undoubtedly has passed. On the other hand, the irregularity of pulse, it's stated, does indicate a strain on the heart, caused partly perhaps by the strain of work, partly perhaps by the use of new drugs. All told, it's being emphasized that Churchill's condition must still be regarded as serious. An outstanding Christmas gift for the British people would be full assurance that their Prime Minister is completely out of danger and well started on his road back to full health. Now, sharing in this approaching British wartime Christmas, as I have said, will be a large number of Americans in uniform. To many, one might say the great majority, it will be work as usual. In general, the great task of preparing for attacks to come will be only briefly interrupted. There will be men who will have to be content with little more than their own thoughts of Christmas, their memories of Christmas. Those men on ships, on submarines, on airfields, men busy charting weather conditions, driving trucks, loading bombs into airplanes, men working on the ground, and men riding high in the sky. And yet a good share of the American Christmas this year, if one thinks in terms of people, will be here in Britain, as a good share will be in Italy and in the Pacific. As a nation, our family has been spread out widely this year. Tremendous numbers of young Americans will be spending their first holiday away from home. Others will be spending their second or more Christmas away from their traditional scenes of cheer and festivity. You may be interested in knowing how a few of these young Americans are planning to observe Christmas here in Britain, what they think about being away from home at this time. We can't give you any really comprehensive idea, for Christmas is, after all, an individual affair in so many respects. But we have asked four Americans in uniform to speak their thoughts in front of this microphone here in London's NBC studio. We've asked them to represent, as far as that's possible, the many, many thousands of Americans who now count Britain as their temporary home. First of all, we have Chief Yeoman Lloyd Lee Wynn of San Francisco. He'll be spending his third Christmas in Britain. He's a short, stocky, powerfully energetic sort of man who's had 13 years in the Navy. Then we have with us Sergeant Ralph D. Kenny of Springfield, Illinois, who is spending his second Christmas over here. He's a thoughtful, quiet-speaking young man attached to the 8th Air Force Fighter Command. We also have Private First Class Barbara Richfield of Brooklyn, who is going to have her first Christmas with a British background. She's a dark-eyed, vivacious young lady with a highly determined attitude about this war. And we have Sergeant Remo Scardini of San Francisco, who will also be having his first experience with a Christmas on this island. Well, Chief Wynn, we'll start with you. You've been here since 1941, I understand, and you've seen two Christmases here come and go. What do you make of it?
Well, being away from my family, my wife and child, isn't exactly a new Christmas experience for me. Serving in the Navy, you can't always have your choice of where you want to be at any given time. I'd like to be home this Christmas, but I'd like to go home to stay for a while. Not just to say hello and then come back again. What I mean is this. I'd like to have things over and done with. The things that have to be done.
Me too. It would be wonderful to be home to see old friends again. But now that I'm here, I want to stay here until they really sound all clear.
You seem to have some support on that point, Chief Wynn. But now tell us, as a veteran of British wartime Christmas celebrations, and you are, what's your advice to persons like Private Richfield here who are in for a new experience, after all?
A very simple rule, I'd say, is that you have to make your own Christmas wherever you go. Partly with your memories, partly with new friends, partly by what you can learn. For myself, it's interesting to compare this coming Christmas with others I've had here.
This one should be better, you mean?
No question about it. As far as the British people are concerned, I've come a long ways here since 1941 and 42.
Well, you've seen a part of that progress, Sergeant Kenny. Now, what's your advice to our two recent arrivals here?
I agree. You shouldn't expect too much from a wartime Christmas. But you can celebrate Christmas here.
Where I'm stationed, we'll be having a Christmas party for orphan children. Things like that. Personally, it's going to be a better Christmas for me than the last one. I've made new friends. Then, too, the sharp edge of being away from home is worn off. In a way, this has become a second home for me, and it's helpful. And then I agree with Chief Wynn. You can always learn something by watching other people, by sharing a celebration with them. Still, well, I wouldn't mind being home for Christmas.
I guess that goes for all of us, Sergeant. And Sergeant Scardini, what sort of a Christmas do you expect to have over here in Britain?
Well, for one thing, my background is a bit different.
How come?
Because I was born in Italy. And until I married 8 years ago, I never celebrated Christmas in the American way. That's something that makes me wish very much that I could be back home this Christmas. Still, I expect to get an experience out of this one.
In what way, Sergeant?
A group of us, where I'm stationed, are going to have dinner at an old inn where Dickens once stayed. And we're going to read Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Sounds like you're interested in the theater.
I am, but it's more than that. We decided that our plan was one good way of getting real memory out of this Christmas. To go along with the memories that we have of other Christmases at home. Aside from that, I like the thought that we're doing something to help bring back a really happy holiday for the British people. They've got it coming to you.
I agree there. It's going to be Christmas here, all right, even though there isn't much pre-Christmas spirit as we used to know it at home. You know, no street decorations and Santa Claus in the stores and things like that. But what gets me is what you can do with a little if you have to, like cutting up strips of paper to decorate a Christmas tree.
And those little packages from home would help a lot.
Except that they came so early, and if I didn't open them, my friends made me.
What I'll always remember are the packages marked perishable and don't open until Christmas at the same time. I still can't figure that one out.
Well, there's a small indication, at least, of how American men and women in uniform over here feel about Christmas this year. They'd like to be back home, but they're determined to stay on until the job is finished. They're making the most of things, and they're out to learn what they can. They'll be working as usual, but they'll also be doing something to make Christmas happier for others. I think you can take that as an attitude which the American Army, Navy, and Air Force over here passes on to you at home as an advanced Christmas greeting. On Christmas Day, you'll be able to think of our fighting men doing their job. You can also think of men like Sergeant Scardelli reading Sikkim's Christmas Carol. You can think of Private First Class Barbara Richfield doing her bit for others. You can think of Sergeant Kenny helping to entertain British orphans. You can think of Chief Yeoman Wynn spending his third Christmas over here and taking it in his stride, because going home means something to be worked for. And looking beyond Christmas, the next month will do much to reveal how extensive and how costly an Allied invasion of Western Europe will have to be. It's becoming more and more obvious here that the work of the RAF and the 8th Air Force is being related to the Second Front issue, not only in terms of destroying war production, but in terms of getting at the vital control centers of the German war effort. The question is raised here whether, with Berlin completely destroyed, with its highly complicated controls of Hitler's European fortress smashed, the German war effort could continue. It's a question that may be answered before too long. At any rate, it's being emphasized here now that the bombing of Berlin, the destruction of Berlin, has wide implications. The controlling agencies for German defense can be moved out of Berlin. Effectively coordinated is another matter. At the same time, the British have come to a more realistic view of the war the past days. The violent struggles going on in Italy and in Russia, the evidence that the Germans can still organize and initiate offensives, these things have had their effect here. A few weeks ago, as example, there were flourishing reports that the Germans were preparing to withdraw from North Norway. General Rommel may have gone to North Norway merely to quiet such rumors, but the developing view here now is that the Germans intend to fight everywhere, that they intend to grant no withdrawals except under pressure. How much of this pressure can be provided by air attack will be the great question during the next week, whether applied to the Balkans, to Germany herself, or to any other part of Hitler's Europe. Two things are certain. A great role has yet to be played by American air forces here in Britain, and British doubts on this point have been well dissipated. The British magazine Aeroplane this week carries an editorial on the persistence of the United States Air Force in the policy of day bombing. And it writes that the U.S. Air Force is now doing more than anything else to gain that mastery in the air, which will be essential to success. This is Elmer Peterson in London, saying goodbye on this program until this time next week.
You have been listening to War Telescope. A weekly report on the war is seen from London by Elmer Peterson, NBC's veteran observer in the British capital. Mr. Peterson is presented each Saturday at this same time over most of these stations. This is the National Broadcasting Company.